All right, get a hold of your Bibles tonight. 2 Kings chapter number 13. 2 Kings chapter number 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. I pray, oh God, that you'd help me tonight, dear God, as I preach, Lord, just to give this simple little thought. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would have your will and way. Lord, thank you for the singing. Thank you for the folks that got up, dear God, and sang. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you'd use that to help and to encourage, God. But Lord, I pray now most of all that you'd meet with us during the reading of your word and the preaching of your word. And I pray, oh God, that you would just take this simple thought that I got tonight, Lord, and that you would make it real through your word and through your spirit, God, in the hearts of the people, and just encourage them, God, to go on. And Lord, I know some folks, Lord, that are not here tonight, God, could certainly have used the message. And Lord, it's amazing to me, Lord, how it seems that just on a certain night, dear God, that folks that are discouraged will miss the very message that could have helped them. And Lord, so I pray, oh God, for those that are downhearted and, Lord, about to give up, Lord, I pray that you would help them, oh God, to go on just a little bit further. And Lord, victory, I know, is be there waiting for them. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, now let's look in 2 Kings chapter 13. And when I was a boy, some of the hardest work that we ever had to do was fixing fences, and you got to keep the cows in and the horses in and stuff like that. So putting up a barbed wire fence is not really hard manual labor, but it'll cut you up and gouge you and do all sorts of stuff. And but at any rate, I can remember having those fellas, you know, pulling that wire and driving those stakes or driving those little poles in the ground and stuff. And every once in a while, you get it almost where you want it, and the fella would say, "Hit her another lick." I mean, not quite where it ought to be. So hit it one more time and I believe it'll be just about right. Or I can remember the first time I tried to split wood. And I'm still a little boy right now, but take that axe or that big old sledge that you bust the wood with and come down and hit it, and it just almost busts. And take that wedge and drive it down in there, and it almost about, just not quite strong enough, they say, hit her another lick. In other words, if you want it to bust, or if you want the victory over the thing, you're going to have to keep on swinging. And that's the picture that you got here tonight. 2 Kings 13, and looking at verse number 14, it says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, 'Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof.'" A great compliment right there. That'd be, in this day and time, like calling somebody an old war horse, or calling them a tank. You know, you see, a middle linebacker, and he's built like he wants to hurt somebody. They say, "There's a tank right there. That's a real war machine right there." And that's what he's saying here. "My father, my father." Now, Elisha had fought many battles, spiritual battles, for the Lord and for the people of Israel. And now he's about to die, and the king comes down to him and he says, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said unto him, "Take bow and arrows." And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them." And he said, "Take the arrows." And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground." And he smote thrice and stayed. In other words, he quit. He smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, "Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And I started to pray. I've been praying. I started to pray all over again. Got out of whack. But anyway, what you got here is a picture. Now, Elisha's about to die, and Israel's been at war with Syria, and about like today. And I mean, Israel's not in a physical war with them, but that can break off at any time. Now, there's always a conflict over there between Syria and Israel. But at any rate here, this king, Joash, comes down to Elisha, and he says what he's basically doing is crying because he's about to die. And Joash, not the best king anyway, but he recognizes that the man of God is about to depart, and he comes down and he begins to cry and begins to talk about his death there. And Elisha says he didn't really spend much time talking about his own death, but he said, I've got some instruction for you. And if you read this, it's kind of interesting how you start out in, of course, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and you come through here, and it's detailed somewhat, and it tells you, and it goes on, and it really tells you just a very interesting story. But something takes place in this chapter, about verse number 15 there, where it becomes very dry. He said, take the bow, and he took it. That's some detail, isn't it? He said, shoot the arrow, and he shot. I mean, that's the way it goes. Read it again. He said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow, and he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand, and he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. So not very much interesting detail there, is it? But one thing that stands out to me is this portion of this chapter is very specific. And if you're going to get the victories in your life, if you're going to get the victories over the thing that you're fighting against, you don't need a lot of flowery words. You don't really need a lot of great speeches. You need some very certain, very specific directions. You do it this way and you're going to get the victories. And very simple message tonight. Not a long message, but if I could get anything across to you, if you're going to get the victories, you're going to have to fight for them, and if you're going to have to fight right and correct for them. The Bible says in the New Testament, over in the book of Timothy, it said, if any man strive for the masteries, he got to strive lawfully. You got to do it right. If you want to get the mastery over a thing, whether it's your Bible, whether it's your prayer life, whether it's your home life, whether it's your married life, if you're going to get the mastery over something, you got to do it right. And the old saying is, if you're going to do something, if anything's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And so what you've got here is a very plain and a very simple set of instruction. And Elisha said, here it says in verse 15, Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And you've got to have weapons if you're going to win a battle. I said to you last Sunday morning, and just come to me to say it right as I got up to preach, about you go hunting, you take a rifle. You go fishing, you take a fishing pole. You go four-wheeling, you take a four-wheeler. I mean, you take the necessary tools. You go to church, you take a Bible. That's a biblical bow and arrow. That's a biblical sword. The Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit. Amen. And so if you're going to fight a warfare, you've got to have the right tools. So Elisha said, take the bow and take your arrow. And so I'm telling you tonight, if you're going to win some spiritual battles, you got to be able to pray. You got to be able to read your Bible. And you got to be able to get close to God. And you got to be able to hear the preaching of the Word of God. One thing is about this old king, he wasn't a very good king. He wasn't a very faithful king, but he understood the man of God. He understood who the man of God was. And of course, the man of God in the Old Testament is a prophet. He represents the Word of God. And so he knew exactly where to go to get his victories. And he said, Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. If you're going to get victories in your life, you're going to have to take your bows and arrows. Amen? You're going to have to take your Bible. You're going to have to get on your knees once in a while and pray. Listen, don't sit at home all week worried about what to do or worried about what to say or worried about what to think. Get on your knees and pray about it. When something goes wrong in the church, I can spend many hours just sitting around wondering, what am I going to say about that? What am I going to do about that? Oh, brother so-and-so's mad. Oh, sister so-and-so's mad. Oh, so-and-so's not coming back no more. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Hey, that's useless. That's useless to think about that stuff. Best thing to do is get your bow and arrow. Get your sword. Get on your praying knee. Get your Bible open. Read and and seek and ask God what to do. Amen? That's the thing you do in your life. Whether it's, and I was reading a book this week about, you know, folks going to revivals and folks, you know, having to work and different things like that. But what I was reading about, this book was written back in the 1800s, and it said, now what you've got to do in order to get a real good revival is, he said, if a person's going to church, they're doing it for God. If they're going to work, they're doing it for God. If they're going to work in their own yard or work in their own garden, they're doing it for God. He said, if a person can get in a mindset like that, well, they won't mind coming to a protracted meeting or something like that. If you're working for God, and if you're going to church for God, well, then when revival comes around, you could go all week. It wouldn't bother you enough because your work's for God, your church is for God, your family's for God, everything's for God. But what I'm trying to say to you tonight is, whatever you're going through down at the house, I mean, if you're living for God, if your family belongs to God, if your money belongs to God, if your house belongs to God, if your job belongs to God, if your business belongs to God, just get your bows and arrows out, amen? Pray about everything. Pray about your marriage. Pray about your car. Pray about your house. Pray about your church. Pray about everything, amen? And so that's what he says here. He says, take bows and arrows. Ain't no use in trying to get no victories if you're not going to do it in a biblical way. Amen. If you're not going to pray, if you're not going to trust God, if you're not going to seek God's face, you're going to lose.
Right.
You're going to lose. And people sit around and say, well, I'm so upset and I'm just so distraught. That ain't going to change. Unless you change your tactics, you're not going to change the outcome.
Right. Yeah.
The worst thing in the world is that somebody would just keep repeating a thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. If you want different result, you're going to have to use different tactics. You're going to have to do something different. So instead of worrying about it, how about praying about it? Instead of just being distraught and fussing about it, how about praying about it? Get inside your Bible and say, well, God, I've used my own brain enough and my own brain's messed it up enough. God, you're going to have to give me some smarts. You're going to have to give me some wisdom. I read about old Solomon this week. That's why I'm reading that in my Bible. The Bible said that God come to Solomon and said, what do I give you? And Solomon said, I will take the wisdom to judge your people. And the Bible said God gave him wisdom above everybody. Anybody that was before him or anybody since. Never was nobody wiser than Solomon. You say, what is it? That's a good attitude, amen? If you're going to get the sense to live your life, if you're going to have the sense to lead your wife, if you're going to have the sense to go to church right and go to work right and pray right and read your Bible right, you're going to have to depend on God. You're just sitting around worried about it. Ain't going to do nothing. I've had people come to me before and say, well, Brother Mike, I just can't understand the Bible. Well, I ain't got no magic wand to wave over you to make you understand it. Only thing I can tell you is stop worrying about understanding it. Just get in there and read it and say, God, show me what you want to show me and hide from me what you don't want me to see. Amen? I've got a little bit of comfort for you if you don't understand too much. If you're reading your Bible every day, and if you're praying about it every day, and you don't understand too much about it, God might be being merciful to you. Of course, you could be lost. But God might be being merciful to you. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required.
Yes.
You know, God might pour a bunch on you, then you might not get busy, and you might get in trouble by knowing too much. It's a possibility. Very good possibility. But listen, if you want the victories in your life, whether they be spiritual or whatever they may be, you're going to have to take the right weapons with you. Amen? Take bow and arrows. And the Bible said he took unto him bows and arrows. At least you could say one good thing about him. He's good at following directions. Ain't that right? If you're going to be a good Christian, you're going to have to quit this anarchist stuff. You're going to have to quit this high-minded stuff about ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. You're going to have to quit that. You're going to have to be good at taking directions. Somebody somewhere along the line is going to give you some directions. You're going to follow it or you ain't. The outcome's going to be right according to that. If you follow instructions, I'm talking about godly instructions now. I'm not talking about no foolishness. A fella called me from Virginia today talking about a pastor and said that pastor had left the church and he was nitpicking everybody and trying to tell everybody just how to live their life 24 hours a day. And I understand you can go too far with that. I understand you can go too far with that. But listen, if you got some good Bible instruction, you got a good Bible in your lap, right. Best thing to do is follow them instructions. Amen? Amen. And that's what this king's doing. He's following instructions. And then he said, Elisha says in verse 16, he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. Now it's one thing to have a Bible and another thing to put your hand on it.
Yeah.
Amen? It's one thing to have plenty of people in your neighborhood to witness to, and it's another thing to put your hands on their door and knock on it. Amen? And the best way I can think of to tell somebody about Jesus is to knock on their door and have them open the door, and you just say something to them. Hey, how about come to church? How about let me tell you about Jesus? Whatever the case may be. You got a Bible and not reading it, it's not going to do you much good. So he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. So it's not just good enough to have a Bible. A lot of Baptists got a Bible.
Yeah.
On the coffee table.
Yeah.
Or got a Bible laid up in the dashboard of your car. You see some people, I seen this guy one time, you know, you can just about tell how much Bible some folks read by the way the Bible looks. You know, and I got a new Bible here, you look at mine. Preacher don't never read his Bible. Mine, you got to be careful what you say sometimes. But mine's brand new. But at any rate, you can just about tell. You know, I seen an old fellow one time, his Bible was all wore out. And I said, man, you've been reading that Bible, huh? And he goes, yeah, I've had that Bible for years. And I got to watching him for a little while, and he wasn't taking that Bible home and reading it. It was staying in the dashboard of his car all week. And the sun was beating it up, and the glue was melting. And you know, it gets pretty hot in the car, right? Well, if your backing's got glue in it and everything, you leave your Bible in your car all week, you might be fooling somebody, but you ain't fooling God, amen? It gets wore out, but you ought to wear it out by reading it, amen? Get in those pages and turn those pages and read them and shed some tears over them and pray about them. And listen, God will give you some great victories with it. Old David, he had a sling. Some people in the Bible had swords. Some folks had bows and arrows. But they used those weapons, and those weapons gave them great deliverance. God will give you some deliverance if you'll use the instruments, the tools, the weapons that he gave. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not machetes and machine guns, but the Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? So well, look in verse 16. He said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow, and he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. And that, you could go ahead and preach right there out of it. He opened it. You know what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says that God has given us some great and precious promises.
Yeah.
You say, well, why can't I get a hold of them promises? You ain't opening the window. You know, the last book in the Old Testament is Malachi. He said, I'll open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You won't be able to receive it. Amen? Right. The only problem in some Christian life, they don't got the windows open. The windows are closed. The windows are closed. Ruth pointed me out a little flyer. Somebody's having a revival, and they took the time to put on the flyer. Ain't gonna take up no offering. Well, everybody in Folkestone ought to show up then. Amen. I asked my wife. I said, "What in the world? Why do you reckon they advertised the fact that they wasn't gonna take up no offering?" Is people that upset with taking up offerings that you got to advertise it on the flyer now? We're going to have a revival, and by the way, we're not going to take up no offering. Well, I said, that's kind of the Lord's. Listen, there ain't a lot of folks sacrificing a lot of things this day and time. You know what I'm saying? Not a lot of people giving up very much. But the book of Malachi says if you'll sacrifice, then God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Amen? So I don't know what you're going to have to do. I don't know what you're going to have to give. I don't know what you're going to have to do in your life. But listen, you get a hold of God's promises, you find out what they are, you open the window, and it's going to pour out on you. Amen? I mean, it's just a fact. You go home tonight, I don't know when it's going to rain again, but just cover all your bases, go home tonight, open up your windows, and next time it rains, I guarantee it's going to rain in your window. Well, you might have to open up both sides of the house. Sometimes it'll rain towards one direction, sometimes another. Sometimes you can get away with it. But I'm telling you this, if you leave the window open, it's going to rain in there before too long. And so he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek. Those great and precious promises that it talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1, they're yours. That's why they're called promises. They're called promises. God said, now, if you'll do it this way, I'm going to give you deliverance. And listen, that's why I say, I'm not just looking for Alcoholics Anonymous or something like that. When I've got troubles in my life, and when I've got trials in my life, and when I've got problems that I can't get over, I'm looking for God's deliverance.
Yeah.
And sometimes God says, well, you got to do it this way. You got to do it this way. You got to do it this. How many of you tried to ever tried? I ate too many of these breath mints before I got up here to preach. How many of you ever tried to quit something and couldn't? How many of you ever tried to start something and couldn't? Oh, I can remember. Listen, when I first got into church and I was going to do right, I said, boy, I'm going to read my Bible every day. And then I made some foolish promises. I said, man, I'm gonna read 20 chapters a day. Oh. Well, I'm gonna read my Bible through about 3 times a year. I said all kinds of crazy stuff like that. And I'd start and I'd do good for about a day and a half. And then when I was chewing that old tobacco, I must have quit that about 400 times, 500 times. I ain't doing this no more.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I ain't doing this no more. And then a week later, I ain't doing this no more. But I'm telling you what, what you've got to do is you've got to open the windows. You've got to shoot. Hey, listen, if you never try, you never will.
Amen.
Now, I believe in deliverance, and I believe once God gives you a deliverance from something, I believe that's going to be it. And I believe that you're going to have a whole lot easier time starting something or stopping something when God gives you the deliverance, when God gives you the power. But listen, some of you are going to try 15 times before God does it. I heard one fellow said, well, I believe, you know, if you just give it to God, then God will take it away from you. He's talking about smoking cigarettes or something. He said, I believe if you just give it to God, He'll take it right away. God don't want it, man. God don't want your cigarette. God didn't make you start smoking. Did He? You did that on your own. And the Bible says you reap what you sow. Well, listen, the gospel doesn't eradicate reaping and sowing. The gospel eradicates going to hell when you die. Thank God for that. Listen, if you create a habit in your life, sometimes it's going to be hard to break. And listen, just use that both positive and negatively. If you don't have a habit of reading God's Word, it's going to take you a little while to get to the place where you're in the habit. The Bible says in the book of Romans that some people were addicted to the ministering of the saints. Well, you might have to wait till you're addicted to going to church. Oh, I'm going to go every Sunday this year. And you go Christmas and Easter. Well, don't give up. If the Lord don't come back, you'll have next year. Give it another shot. Give it another shot and hit her another lick. That's the message. That's the name of the message. Amen. He said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And let me just say this. The Lord's deliverance is there for you. If you want it. And that's the thing I'm trying to learn in my own mind as far as dealing with people goes, is some people just don't want it. You go and you invite them to church, or you finally get them to church, or you begin to speak with them, you begin to deal with them about a thing. Listen, some people just don't believe. Some people just don't see it that way. You see whatever the case may be, you try to get somebody to live right in one area, they just don't say, I just don't believe that, don't see it that way. Man, you ought to come to church. You ought to get solid in church. I'll try. They just don't see the need. But I'll tell you this, if you want the deliverance, if you want the victory, it's there for you, I promise you that. And I've dealt with people, and they say, well, I'm really going to get in church now, I really see the need, and I just know, I know that God's going to do something for me this time. About 3 or 4 weeks later, they're back to living the old way, and I don't understand all that, but I know this, folks usually get just about what they want. Folks usually get just about what they want. And listen, there ain't no use in standing on a soapbox saying, well, they didn't get saved, or they're saved, or they're not saved. There ain't no use in pointing all that out. The fact of the matter is, when I see somebody and they come to church and they're doing what God wants them to do, I just figure it's because that's what they want to do. And if I see somebody that don't come to church and don't read the Bible and don't memorize Scripture and don't witness, I just figure they don't want to do it. What am I going to do to change that? Like I said, I don't have no magic wand to wave over folks. And that's just something they don't want to do. just something they don't want to do. But if you want it, you can get some victories. You can get some things done in your life. The arrow of the Lord is delivered. So the promise of deliverance is there in verse 17. He said, hey, deliverance is just as easy as opening the window and pulling back the bow and shooting out there. There it is. That's victory. But then look in verse number 18. He said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice. 1, 2, 3. And he stopped. He stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him. They say preachers ain't supposed to get mad, but that one was mad.
Yeah.
All this stuff they're saying in this modern day, all these mean preachers, all these mad preachers, that's the only kind I find in my Bible.
Amen.
Oh, our Lord Jesus, He was God as love. The Lord loved everybody. He sure did, but He made a whip and went into the temple and run folks out. I'm glad I wasn't selling in there that day. Ain't you? Ain't you? Yes, sir. Well, a lot of times, folks going to preacher's going to get mad. That's what he done here. He said, I lost my place. He said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice and stayed, and the man of God was wroth with him, and said, thou shouldest. You see that word? People don't like that kind of preaching. They don't want to hear that they, or the people don't want to hear that they should have done something. They want to hear that they've done something.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, I've said this a bunch of times, people don't really want pastors anymore, they just want preachers. And most Christians have their favorite kind of preacher. And if I can just hear that kind of preacher, some people like intellectual preaching. Some people like wild, mad dog preaching, just screaming and hollering and jumping all over the place. Y'all ain't never seen none of that kind here. But some people like, exciting. Some people like it kind of boring. So people like boring preaching so it doesn't interrupt their sleep. Amen. But people like it certain ways, you know. And so people want a preacher. They don't really want a pastor. But a pastor and a real Bible teacher is going to tell you what you should have done. And people don't want, and what you should have done means you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
See, he smoked three times. And he said, and ain't that just like a preacher? You're already doing something. He comes up and says, no, that ain't right. That ain't the right. You're doing it wrong. And you just ask. I mean, you just go ask anybody. Well, which kind of preachers tells you you're doing it wrong all the time? Oh, independents. Them independent, fundamental Baptists, they tell. That's all that. They're abusive and they're telling you you're doing it wrong. Well, you know why they do that? Because you're doing it wrong. Amen? That's what I mean. That's just the way I figure. I mean, if you do it, listen, would you rather do it wrong or right? That's what you say now. Amen? But when it really comes down to somebody saying, well, you should have done it another way. Well, that's where the rubber meets the road. Are you going to be able? Are you going to be able to take the instruction? Now it's too late for this king here. He done it wrong and that was his only chance. I mean, I wish Elisha could have said, now, hey, add three or four more to that. He hit it three times, right? And Elisha said, you should have done it different. Well, it would have been nice if Elisha would have said, add three more to that and you'll get all the victories you need. But he didn't. He said, you should have done it another way. You should have done it another way. You should have done it another way. Didn't give him no hope, did he? Well, I'm glad the Lord is long-suffering. I'm glad we do live in the New Testament where God is merciful and God has long-suffering. But God was merciful and long-suffering in the Old Testament. And this is the bottom line, folks. And I would like to tell you that you're going to get unending, infinite chances. I wish I could tell you that. But one of these days you're going to do it wrong. That's going to be the last chance. You say, when's that going to be? I don't know. But let me just tell you, when you're trying to do something now, don't give up. You see, what this fellow done is he gave it a shot. And then he gave it another shot. And then he gave it another shot. And then he gave up. You know, it said he stayed. He quit. You know, like somebody tried to quit smoking one time. And then they tried again. And then they said, well, the Lord ain't helping me quit. So I guess that's okay. I guess that's the Lord saying I can just go ahead and do it. No, sir, that ain't the Lord saying you can just go ahead and do it. That's your opportunity to try again. And you say, well, how many times am I supposed to try? Till you get the victory. So you get the victory.
Amen.
And maybe you started to, you know, memorize a chapter one time and you start again. You start again. You give up. Well, I just can't do it. It's too hard for me to do. Well, try again. Try again. Maybe you tried to witness to your uncle, or maybe you tried to witness to your grandpa, or maybe you tried to witness to somebody in your family that needs to know the Lord as their personal Savior. And after one time, they told you to leave them alone. After another time, they told you to leave them alone, and you just quit. Well, maybe you should have smoked three or four more times. Maybe they'd have got in. I remember one time helping my uncle up on the roof, and I just think about roofing, and I get in a depressed sort of a mood. But I can remember helping my uncle up on the roof one time, and he was fixing on his roof, and I got up the nerve, because he was such a, you know, in my eyes as a young man, that was a man, and he was real tough. And I said, "Would you mind if I told you a little bit about the Lord?" And he said, "I don't want to hear that junk." He said, "I don't believe like y'all believe." And I give up, and it was a long time before I said anything again. I hit one time, and it didn't work, so I shut my mouth. And I tell you this, my old uncle, he ain't never have got saved. But listen, every time I get an opportunity, get a chance, I'm going to hit him again and hit it another lick, because one of these days it might be the right one. Now, he may not ever get saved. I don't know if he will or not, but I know this, I'm going to keep on trying.
Amen.
I'm going to keep on trying. I know some of you tried to quit that old alcohol, and maybe you quit it once and quit it twice, but I know your personal testimony, some of you, eventually you got that victory, didn't you?
Right.
Amen. Eventually you got that. Some of you tried to quit cussing when you first got saved, and you let her slip every once in a while. Amen. Well, don't give in to letting it slip. You're wrapped in a robe of flesh. You're going to mess up once and again. But I'm going to tell you this. Don't let your guard down. The Bible says that those promises are great and those promises are precious. And if you'll keep on smiting, God will give you the victory. Just keep on hitting it. You're trying to do something for God, but things don't come to pass and things don't come to fruition. That doesn't mean quit. Means to hit it again. Elisha told this king, he said, if you would have kept on smiting, you would have smited these people till you had complete deliverance. Now, the victories are the same that he's talking about. Verse 17, look at the last portion of the verse. It said, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. That means the victory is promised, complete. Complete victory is, see that word consumed? That means they're all gone. Right? Well, in verse number 19, he said, if you would have smote five or six times, then had thou smitten Syria till thou had consumed it. First he said, you're going to smite him. But then he said, you didn't smite him enough. You didn't smite him enough. So you can miss a victory. You can miss a promise by just not going after it and 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 going after it. Boy, I tell you what, if this church would have folded up because the first pastor didn't work, or the second pastor didn't work, or the third pastor didn't work, or the fourth or the fifth, I don't know how many it's had, but ain't you glad it didn't fold up after two or three times? Amen. You say, what you got to just keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. Listen, I don't know what you're going through in your life. I don't know. I've tried to cover several different things so that maybe I could hit here or there somewhere. But listen, if you're going through something, and hopefully your personal life is intermingled there with your spiritual life.
Amen.
You know, I try not to separate them, but I think, you know, your personal life and your work life and your business life, I think all that ought to be a part of your spiritual life.
Amen.
But I don't know what you're going through, but I'm telling you this, if you'll just keep hitting on it, if you'll just keep going at it, if you'll just keep trying and trying and trying again, you're not always going to get the victories the first time. The Israelites, they fought the Philistines all through the Old Testament. They just fought. They fought battle after battle after battle after battle after battle, and they could have had complete victory. When they were heading up towards the promised land, the Lord said, you go in there and drive them all out. Just drive them all out. And the Lord said, I'm not going to drive them all out at one time, because the land will overtake you. If I do, there'll be so much in there you won't be able to handle it. But he said, I'm going to drive them out by degrees. I'm going to drive them out real slowly. He said, now you don't make no allegiances or no alliances with them. He said, then I'll drive them all the way out. You have complete victory. And they hit once at Jericho, they hit once at Ai, they hit once at Bethel, they hit once at Jebus. But they started making alliances. They could have had complete victory, but they didn't smite till the enemies was consumed. That's what we do as Christians sometimes. We start to work on a problem. We start to try to get something rectified. We start to try to get something all fixed up and worked out in our life, but we give up. We give up. We get depressed, or we get anxiety over something that ain't working out. Listen, the fight is the thing. Go ahead. If you got to get upset, go ahead and get upset about it. But that's what I'm talking about. You need to get on your knees and pray. You need to get in your Bible and find out what God wants you to do. If you sit around and worry, God's not going to come magically appear in your room and tell you what to do next. He wants you to get on your knees and pray and get out your Bible and apply the things that you read to your life. You'd be surprised. Your life's in these pages.
Amen.
Your life, believe it or not, is written into these pages, and you'd be surprised how many things you're going to read, and it'll be exactly the situation you're going through. I've had people come in and say, "Now, preacher, that message you preached today, that's exactly. Well, I'm not spying on you. I don't got webcams all through your house. I don't know what's going on, but I'm telling you that God will have the instruction for you if you just keep looking. And you know what the Bible says? It says, "Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." You say, "Well, what happens if all my problems ain't settled the first time I knock?" Knock again. Knock again. Hit her another lick. Amen. Keep on keeping on. And trust God and He'll help you in your situations. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for Your great and Your precious promises. And Lord, I know sometimes it's hard, Lord, to get the victory over some things in our lives if we try to do it in our own power or doing it in our own time or whatever the case may be. But Lord, I know that You're able. I know that Your Word has a solution. I know that prayer brings us closer to You. I know that coming down the church house gives us the encouragement of the brethren who are already going through the things that we're going through. And Lord, I know and believe and trust that anybody in this building can get the victory over the things in their life if they'll just hit it another lick, God. They just go back and do it over and over and over again. And Lord, I pray, oh God, that You'd help folks not to give up after once or twice, but they'd hit it five or six times until the victory's won. The enemy's consumed, oh God. And Lord, I thank You for these great and precious promises. I pray, oh God, You'd have Your will and have Your way in these people's hearts and lives. Thank You for tonight's service. Thank You for these that have come out. God, I pray You'd bless them, an extra special blessing for coming out, Lord. There, a lot of folks in the world, even these independent Bible believers, God, that we claim to be, a lot of those churches are going to not having services on Wednesday night. But God, I pray You'd bless this congregation for coming out. Work in their lives. Show them the victory of God. And I thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. Hold on. All right.